10-10, here's a meme working its way around. It's got, you know, the sort of 1950s man, a pencil drawing of him winking at you. Maybe he's sipping a cup of coffee. He's got some wisdom for you. And the meme reads, new rule. If it is safe to mail tax refunds, Social Security checks, stimulus checks, draft registrations, prescription drugs, passports, your driver's license, or an actual ID that you use to vote, then it is safe for you to vote by mail. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. Today our eyes are a little bit on the business of finding people who don't want to wear a mask or, you know, behave by whatever the rules are that the governor has put forward or the city has put forward. I don't know if you heard JB yesterday, but he was kind of tippy-toeing. He doesn't want to be the guy that says, I'm going to fine you if you're not wearing a mask. I'm kind of cool with that. And here's the leeway I'll give you. 30 seconds. We come up to you. You got it in your pocket, your purse, your backpack. You forgot it. Okay, you can slip it on. But if you don't have one, then you have to pay me $75. We asked you at our news click at WGNradio.com, the daily web poll question yesterday, should the state fine people for not following the coronavirus rules? 75% said yes, 25% said no. You may not want to wear a mask or like the sort of state telling you what to do and then taking your money if you don't. But it's also a very easy ticket to avoid. And then I thought, well, I know who won't like this. It's the ACLU. So then I called Colleen Connell, who is the Illinois ACLU executive director, to comment on this. And what do you know? She said that she doesn't think that's such a crazy idea. At least I think that's what she said. Hi, Colleen. It's John Williams. How are you today?
I'm good. Good. How are you today, John?
Pretty good. Did I misquote you there or mishear you? Do you think it's okay what the governor and I are suggesting?
It does not, you know, given the facts we know, violate the Constitution for the governor of the state of Illinois to promulgate reasonable health regulations that are backed up by medical science and to enforce them. And as I indicated to you earlier, enforcing by virtue of a fine is such much better public health policy and legal policy than, you know, arresting somebody and detaining them and subjecting them to a higher risk of infection from the COVID virus. And so, you know, I think this is just, you know, one of those public health regulations that is completely within the authority of the governor to promulgate.
That's an interesting point. I mean, if you empower them to do something, then what do you have them do? And throwing them in the squad car and running them over to Cook County is probably the worst idea if you're trying to curtail the virus, right?
That is absolutely correct. And I think, as you pointed out at the beginning of the program, this is an easy regulation to comply with. And you know, people should do it for their own safety and for the safety of the rest of us, including extended family members. And the medical science backs this up, that the key, given what's happening in this country, to, you know, preventing further spread of the virus are the kind of good public health measures such as, you know, social distancing and wearing a mask.
By the way, the number is 312-981-7200. Jump in. I'd love to hear your view on this. 312-981-7200. I'm not clear on what power the governor has. It's not a law, right? Is it the equivalent of an executive order, but has the force of law? Can the governor say we all have to do something like this?
So the Constitution of the United States, both in the 10th Amendment and its general framework, give to state governmental authorities what are called basically powers to regulate in the interests of public health and safety and welfare. And Governor Pritzker also has similar powers that are afforded to the governor by the state constitution of Illinois. And so the governor, in a series of executive orders starting in March, promulgated some orders, you know, for example, the stay-at-home order and the mask order, and, you know, the other, you know, guidelines in terms of how to try to limit the exposure of the coronavirus. And so this would come in the, you know, sort of the general description of public health, safety, and welfare measures that state governors have the power to do. I want to underscore here that these powers are not, of course, unlimited, and they have to be anchored to public health data or medical data or scientific data. And what we do know about the mask requirement or the mask wearing requirement is that it is backed up by good medical data, which shows increasingly that the coronavirus is an airborne virus and that a mask is an effective way to restrict transmission.
So the governor does that. He says, okay, you have to wear a mask. But the teeth in the thing would be if there was some sort of penalty. So he was talking about that yesterday. Here's a soundbite from J.B. Pritzker.
I went to the legislature and I asked JCAR to consider a rule that would impose fines when people are not requiring masks to be worn. They didn't want to do that. They wanted to consider legislation and then didn't bring up that legislation.
JCAR is the part of the state legislature that advises on rules. It's a rules committee.
It's a rules commission on administrative regulation.
Right. So, I mean, so he can say you have to wear a mask, but what's the harm if I don't? So far, not much. And it sounds like, do I hear him correctly? He wants the legislature to write some sort of bill about that, but we don't have that. So it's really just pleading with people. It's not forcing people to do anything right now, right?
That is correct, and I think that, you know, it's important to note that most of us comply with the laws or the public health advice voluntarily.
Yes, that's true. I hear you on that.
Compliance. Yeah. It's really essential, and I think that your initial poll at the top of the program said, you know, 75% of people in Illinois think it is important to wear masks.
I want to just pick up a couple of phone lines. My number is 312-981-7200. Colleen Connell is the Illinois ACLU Executive Director. Tim, you're in Addison. You say you don't love this idea, huh?
No, because it's not fair to I live in a living facility, Ray Graham, SLC.
Keep going.
I just don't think it's fair to us.
Okay. You have a response to that, Colleen?
Well, I think that people in, assisted living or other facilities actually are most at risk and perhaps most benefit from mask wearing, you know, across, sort of across society. But I also want to note that both the governor's recommendations on mask wearing, as well as those promulgated by the mayor of Chicago, have recognized that we need to create exceptions for people with certain health conditions that would make wearing a mask either problematic or perhaps even dangerous. And so, again, this shows how, you know, these regulations can really, you know, be created in a way that protects all of us and creates the kinds of exceptions that are needed, you know, to try to protect as many people's health as possible.
773 texted in to say, what do you do if they don't pay the fine? I guess it's true with anything. Ultimately, I guess you could round these people up. You could issue a warrant. I wouldn't serve that right away, but that would go against
them. I think you're spot on, John. Yeah. We depend, you know, for our society to work on most people going along with good public health recommendations. And, if people don't pay the fines, I wouldn't arrest them or detain them immediately either, because of obviously it would be counterproductive to expose them and derivatively the rest of us,
Colleen,
to a greater risk of infection.
Here's another text, and this is, I think, a fair point. John, don't take the police away from their duties. You can deputize me. I would have no problem telling people to put masks on or finding them, but I understand the point. Given the civil unrest we're going through these days, maybe this is trivial by comparison.
So I don't think anybody's pulling the police away from their duties. In fact, a guidance that the ACLU of Illinois sent out in the earlier days of the pandemic specifically said, for example, that the police should not be arresting people or detaining people unless that person was engaged in activity that put another person at great and imminent risk of bodily harm or death. I think that sort of prioritizing enforcement to real safety risks mm-hmm. is really an important point. So I agree with your caller / texter, but that doesn't take away the importance of society really taking the coronavirus seriously and complying with really important public health measures that are designed to protect all of us.
Here's the version of hardball I want to play, Colleen. If we're going to do this, I mean, I say we do this, right? Like because there's so many mitigating circumstances or situations like, well, I wasn't in the bar, I was outside the bar, but I was really close to being inside the bar and I was talking to people inside the bar, so I got to wear a mask. And it's like everything is gray. So I think if this thing is going to work, you have to sort of just drop the hammer and say, no, everybody, even if you're walking across the Michigan Avenue Bridge by yourself, you have to have a mask on. And if you're not, you're in violation. And I think that's going to be really tough scorekeeping. That's why I say it's trivial for the cops. Are they going to just walk around and go, $75. But I almost think it's that sort of draconian interpretation of this that you have to have.
See, and this is where we disagree, John. Again, the medical risks show that a person walking outside, crossing the Michigan Avenue risk presents less risk to others and is at, less risk himself or herself from contracting the virus, because what we know is that proximity and duration are really important factors in transmission. And when you're outdoors and there's a lot more airflow and you're just walking by somebody for, a nanosecond, your risk of exposure is far, far less than when you're sitting in a crowded
I'm not arguing that point with you. I'm just saying it would be a lot easier if it was black and white. Because, sure, I'm on the bridge by myself. Well, that's an easy one. But now it gets a lot more complicated when, say, I'm standing in line at the Apple store outside, but I'm 3 feet, not 6 feet away. And my mask is around my mouth, but not my nose. You going to write that person a ticket?
So this is where I'm going to say I have confidence in the fact that I think most people are smart and can, make these kinds of judgments, on their own. And, they can figure out that, walking the dog at 5 a.m. is a very different situation than being in the grocery store.
Yeah, I see a lot of those on my way in the morning. By the way, I take the bus. I don't take the bus in. I take the L in a lot of times, or most often I ride my bike. And when I'm riding my bike, I count the heads in the buses. Mm-hmm. And we today averaged about 6 people per bus in downtown Chicago rush hour traffic. Let's pick up a couple of calls for Colleen Connell. She is the Illinois ACLU executive director. And she is championing, that's my word, but she is in agreement with the governor that there should be some enforcement to people who aren't following the COVID-19 rules. Anthony, you're on WGN. What do you want to say? Hi.
Hey, John. Good morning.
Hey.
I just want to say I'm 100% on board that it needs to be black and white, have to have a mask or don't have to have a mask. I'm a service plumber, and I've been working this whole time as an essential employee. And since the lockdown, day one, we've required our guys to wear masks at every house we go into, 100% all the time.
Yeah.
And, we're carrying water heaters and toilets and rotting sewers, and we're not just going for a leisurely stroll down Michigan Avenue or, jaunting around the grocery store,
But you tell your employees they've got to wear a mask the whole time.
Every time you're in a house working, yes, sir.
Man, what a pain in the butt that is. Hot, cramped work.
Well, hey, we're trying to keep each other safe. That's what it's all about. We got to work together to beat this virus. And if we don't, it's going to stick around for years to come. That's just my opinion on it.
I'm really glad you called. Interesting point, Anthony. And thank you for that. Colleen, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, again, I think that this is the difference between, the authority a private employer has for his or her employees and the scope of government power. And, you know, I think it's totally appropriate and laudatory that your caller said to his people, hey, you got to wear a mask all the time. That's for their safety. It's for the safety of their clients. And, you know, I think that, you know, we've, you know, as the ACLU, we've imposed similar measures. We're all working remotely. We can do that. And part of that is motivated by concern for safety of our employees, but also for safety generally overall. And so, you know, again, this sort of reinforces the point that I think most people are taking this seriously. I think that the mask recommendations are really important. And I think that, you know, there is a difference between, again, walking your dog at 10 a.m. or, excuse me, at 5 a.m. in the morning and, you know, being in somebody else's home in close quarters or being in the grocery store or being on a public bus. And so, you know, I think the details matter.
708 says on a text line, the same thing I think Laura wants to say in Lincolnshire. Thanks for calling in, Laura. You're on WGN.
You're welcome. Thank you, John. It seems like there's two categories of problems here. One is that people make, they have problems wearing the mask because of inconvenience and discomfort. And then there's other people who make wearing the mask mean something other than the simple thing that it means about trying to get control of the pandemic. And I sarcastically wonder why there aren't so many people protesting other laws like wearing a seatbelt that doesn't even really affect anyone other than the person wearing the seatbelt. Or in some states, you have to wear a motorcycle helmet.
Yeah, no, that's a real good point. I'm out of time now, but just comment quickly on that, Colleen. Is this akin to seatbelt laws?
Yes, in some ways it is. And seatbelt laws have been upheld as, you know, constitutional. Seatbelt laws, as you know, are generally passed by the state legislature. They're not a matter of executive order.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that it is public safety. Interestingly enough, the New York Times science section today had an article about connecting, you know, learning to be compliant with mask use to how we've learned as a society to be compliant with seatbelt laws and other public health measures like that.
Smoking rules, you know, things like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Colleen Connell, working from wherever and helping us out today, the Illinois ACLU Executive Director. I'll stay in touch. I appreciate your thoughts today.
Thank you so much, John. I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, likewise. 1027. This is WGN. Here comes the news.